What's up, everybody? It's Isaac with the intro to the intro. You know what that means. That means we've got a special guest. Today, we're joined once again by Ryan Bledsoe. We talked to him and the crew back in 2022, and today he's back because it's time for some very critical updates to this strange realm of the phenomenon, right? We're talking UFOs, aliens, angels, whatever you want to call it. And as you already know, Ryan and his family have been in contact with the angels, the phenomenon, the Invisible College. I mean, he is at the epicenter of what's going on with all of this. So I needed him on here because since we talked last time, his father, Chris Bledsoe, who's been doing the rounds on podcast interviews, released his book, UFO of God. So we talk a little bit about the book, UFO of God, here and there. But we're going to, the most important thing is that Ryan's going to walk us through a bunch of connections we find with the Epstein files, the dark forces of the phenomenon. We talk about the lady, which is like the angel that gave Chris the prophecies back in 2013 of a war between Iran and Israel, which is obviously why I've got him on here today. You know, but stay positive, right? Because the lady says that humanity's going to be on a good path when the Sphinx meets the Star of Regulus in September. And we're going to unpack what that means. And of course, this gets into a little bit of a religious discussion, you know, because I'm an Orthodox Christian. Ryan, he kind of has researched a lot on the realm of the Gnostics, which, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we can look at and unpack. So we discuss about the sort of differences and parallels there, as well as we get real deep into some of the stuff about Bohemian Grove, Satan and Jesus being related, and Moloch eating kids, and I mean, crazy stuff, right? And by the time you get to the end of the episode, you're gonna find more about who's and what's behind the events, and it's probably not what you think. So while you're listening, go check out Bledsoe Said So podcast. You can get it through BledsoeSaidSo.com. I'll put the links in the show notes. He's got a Patreon as well. He talks a lot about some of the subjects we sort of touch on today. You can get Chris Bledsoe's book, UFO of God, everywhere as well. And if you're watching my video version of the show, you can see some of the images. I'm going to paste some of the images at the very beginning, like while I'm talking right now. You're going to see some images of the stuff that he discusses later on in the show. Like, he got a photo of what appears to be the lady. There's an artistic rendering of the lady. There's a sort of secret ops invisible college patch. Just a few images that he gave me afterward to share with you guys. So go check it out. YouTube.com/@occultsymbolism. Link is always in the show notes. Be sure to subscribe. I'm trying to get to 100K by the end of the year. Okay. All right. Oh, I almost forgot. Sunday night, Monday morning, right? March 15th to the 16th. I'm going to be on Coast to Coast AM, so be sure to tune in. Me and Richard Sear are going to chop it up on CERN and aliens and the occult and all kinds of crazy stuff. And you're going to hear that I had to reschedule some of my shows, right, because of this interview. The next episode, I think, you should hear is I've got a show prepared about Kubrick and the Epstein files and how Kubrick's code is found within the Epstein files. And on it, I'm going to tell you, like, hey, go check out my Coast to Coast appearance, but it's going to be too late, all right? So just disregard that when you hear it, but I want you to know right now, Sunday night into Monday morning, March 15th to the 16th, I'll be on Coast to Coast AM. Check it out. Okay, here we go. Now, here's Ryan. All right, everybody, we're joined with a very special returning champion, and it couldn't come at a better time, quite frankly. We're going to explore what's happening with this war in the Middle East a little bit and how it could be part of the phenomenon or even an alien prophecy. And today we're joined by the host of Bledsoe Said So podcast. But more importantly, he's someone who is as close as a human being can actually get to the phenomenon. It's our old friend and returning champ, Ryan Bledsoe. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I've never been a champion of anything. That's
You're
awesome.
The champion today, man. It's my champion.
Oh, thank you, man. And as I hope that the people listen, if they don't know who I am or what I do, I like he said, I have the podcast Bledsoe Said So, and I'm pretty open in the very beginning that this very show has been one of my greatest inspirations for my show. So I owe my whole career of podcasting to Isaac.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
So thanks for having me back. And dude, you hooked me up with Spreaker. So like you've opened doors for me and mountains for me.
I'm gonna tip my Bledsoe Said So hat to you.
Yeah, man, I got some more stuff I want to send you too.
Oh, dope. So,
yeah, we're sitting here doing the pre-interview, and you keep saying over and over like it's been since 2022, and I'm like, what? 4 years since we've collabed?
Yeah, that's dude. Insane. Yeah, it and there's so much that has transpired since then. I've got a little list here of just some like crazy weird things, right? So one, I changed the name of my podcast since then. I used to be Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture, and back then I was in heightened states of paranoia because like people were getting sort of removed from, specifically from Patreon, and that was my concern. I was like, oh no, like if I get removed from Patreon, like that's it, I'll fold it up, forget it, it's over. So I changed the name of the show, which I gotta send you a new shirt probably. I think I might have sent you.
I think you did.
Okay,
let's do an exchange.
Yeah, and then we had the Miami Mall, you know, monsters, alien, Nephilim, whatever that was. We had the New Jersey drones. Dad released the UFO of God book. Your father, Chris Bledsoe, who, you know, if people don't know the story, I'll put a link in the show notes for the 2022 show we did together, where you tell us the story of what happened to your father. And it's also in the UFO of God book, but the UFO of God book was really good because it went through, it wasn't just one isolated incident. It was a sort of repeated visitation of orbs and the lady and all the stuff that you talked to us about in 2022. So, and then this last week, one of the main catalysts for why I reached out to you to come back on is it seems to be we're having this weird holy war, rebuilding of Solomon's temple, whatever people want to call it. And you and your father have been talking about phenomenon implications of all this. So but before we get into those heavy duty, you know, juicy bits about that, I do want you to sort of share, you know, what's new with you guys, right? Like what's new with the podcast? What projects have you been working on? I know you're like extremely busy now.
Well, yeah, it's crazy, right? It is long overdue that we had this discussion. I'm always, like I said, I'm always thinking of you because, you know, we publish every week on Spreaker, which you introduced me to. So you're always in the back of my head. So I'm glad to be here in the craziest time yet in the world. I've grown a lot since we last did a show together. That was 2022. I started recording in 2021. And for people at home listening, if you don't know the full story, just to give you like a quick version to show you where I was then and where I'm at now. Since I was 14 years old, I've had people from the CIA, from NASA, from all of these different intelligence agencies literally just barge in on our little family in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and, you know, swarm us and just totally violate the sanctity of our private life and ask us questions, investigate us while trying to smear us and debunk us. And so that caused a lot of trauma. You know, when you're 15 years old and you have people from NASA and the CIA saying, hey, we're going to spy on you for the rest of your life. We're going to tap your phones. We're going to have satellites over your house. Your lamps and your light bulbs are going to have bugs in them. So make sure you check them because you're always going to be listened to. You grow up and you have this fear of like, I'm always going to be watched. I'm always going to be. And then, of course, at 27 years old, I realized, oh, they were telling me that so that I would believe it, so that I would never go and speak out. So that's why at 27 years old, I had that realization. And this was 5 years ago when I started the show, and why I started the show, I had that realization. They're not really doing all that. They just wanted me to never speak out because it would be dangerous if I did, because I've been so close to them and I have intimate knowledge of what they've wanted from us, how they operate, and what their true motives and goals are. So when I did your show last, that was only a year after I figured that out. And I still was healing from a lot of that trauma of the paranoia of them convincing us as children, never speak out. People are going to think you're crazy and you're always being listened to and spied on. So that was 5 years ago. Now I'm like a completely new man. I mean, we've gone on this incredible journey. The show has opened, my show, I mean, Bledsoe Said So, has opened so many doors for us. My dad has published a book. He just sent me the stats 2 days ago on Amazon. Out of like 30 plus million books, it's in the top 4,000 of all categories. Wow. It's the number one in Christian faith, if you would believe it.
Really?
On Amazon. Number one in angels. And it's like, he sent it to me. I don't remember. It's like top 100 in spiritual or something like that. I can look it up later. But it's constantly hitting these marks of being a bestseller. If it wasn't self-published on Amazon, it would be what they call a New York bestseller. It's a very successful book. And I'm not saying that to you know, gloat about, yeah, he's done great. It's made money. That's not my point. My point is our lives have so profoundly changed since this journey, since I've been here last. I'm a different person now. I'm a lot more healed. I'm a lot more confident in who I am. And, you know, amazing things are happening in the world. And guess what? Today, just a random little anecdote, my son is 37 weeks fully formed and cooked in the womb. And 3 weeks from now, he's due to be in my arms. So I've had a lot happening. You know what I mean? And
yeah, man.
I'm excited about that.
That's beautiful, man.
So the show's doing great. We just passed 40,000 subscribers, and that was a slow crawl. And now that it's past 40, it feels like it's exponential. And it's like, the sky's the limit. Here we go, off to the races. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my show. I don't really remember the full question, but
That's good, man. I just know you've gone through a lot of changes as well. And to speak about your father's book, it's a great book. It's one of the easiest books I've ever read. I mean, I cruised through the thing. It was very, very, very well written, because I think that sometimes, because I buy so many books, some of these books are like, they're hard to get through, man. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like the sentencing grammatical structure is difficult for my brain to read. I don't know what it is, but I put your dad's book up with like the Da Vinci Code. When Ooh. I first time I read Da Vinci Code, I breezed through it. It was almost like suspenseful, you know? And it was kind of like that for me. So I think all the accolades for your dad's book, which, by the way, you mentioned it was a top Christian book. There's several, and that's one of the topics we'll get into today, is the idea of religion and what contact with the phenomenon, you know, mm-hmm. looks like. In the book, there's several Bible verses. I think at the end, he gives a special thanks to God, right? So I don't get this vibe, because, you know, as you know, like on my show, I look at all things through this lens of Christian, occult. Where do the two overlap? Where do the two butt heads? Because there's a lot of interpretations of Christianity and Christ and the Bible that say, like, hey, you shouldn't be messing with none of this stuff. You shouldn't be talking to spirits. And I partially do believe that, in a sense of, like, I did a whole show of my experience ghost hunting, which I would say is comparable to the idea of in my understanding of it. I'd like to hear your opinion on that. But like with ghost hunting, I had a similar experience where it was like, I didn't believe it at first. And then I started doing it. Then I had a weird phenomenon happening and I became a believer, and then it got weird. And I said, oh man, I don't know what I'm in contact with at this point. I'm going to stop doing it. 'Cause we had weird stuff happening that didn't feel positive. It didn't feel angelic. It didn't feel healing. It felt like scary stuff to me. And that's what made me back away. And then So I do believe in the phenomenon. I always question, like, is this something all of us should be trying to do? I don't think so. I question that, because I don't think we all have good discernment. I don't know that my discernment's that good. But yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of strange elements and moving pieces to the phenomenon, as you know, yeah. Right? I don't need to explain that.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want me to just go all out?
I do.
Okay.
Guide us here.
All right, so here's the thing. Like, people have to understand that the number one comment we get online is like, is Satan masquerades as an angel of light? Do you test the spirits? Is it God? First of all, let me just be clear that since 2007, in my dad's very original report to MUFON, which I still have, and I'm happy to send you if you'd like to read it for yourself, he says, you know, basically, whatever they are, I believe they were angelic. Even before they spoke to him, that he could recall, like in the missing 4 hours of time, he, just from sight, just from seeing them. And then if you really know the story intimately, that night after the Cape Fear River, he goes to our house and there's one in the backyard and it speaks to him telepathically. And it says, you don't understand. We're not here to hurt you. We're here to help you. He goes and he reports to MUFON 10 months later, because this gnawing agony in his mind, I got to tell somebody. He says they were angelic. I believe they were angelic. Then, of course, the regression happens later, and his memories begin to come back of his experience, where they literally tell, and by the way, they wear a triangle on their chest. That's why my podcast symbol is a triangle with a UFO in the middle, because the beings wear a triangle on their chest. Yeah, there you go. You got it. That's actually symbolic of several things. We can talk about that if you want. They told him they serve creation, that they work for God, and that they are like, you know, the guardians of life, and that they bring us here and they created us and they nurture life and they take care of us. So he, even before the lady came and all that, and it became more overtly, you know, where she was giving Bible scriptures and stuff, it always had this feeling to us that this is not aliens. This is something divine. And we never, ever, in an official capacity, you can scour the internet, talk to Grok or ChatGPT or whatever, scour the internet, and you will see that we have never reported that these are aliens.
Okay, so you don't like that. You don't prefer that verbiage if I say
I don't believe in aliens. Okay. I don't believe in them, period. People believe what they want. That's fine. But we have always maintained that they are angels. And at some point, Dad has said, well, you know, I don't know what they are. And he's playing this wonderful, I don't know, maybe you got to figure it out for yourself. But they sure do heal people and perform miracles and glow like a beautiful spirit of light and talk about God. But I don't know what they are. They're angels, right? We've always said this. We've always reported this. And then the lady comes and she starts giving scripture and speaking of biblical prophecy. But here's the key, okay? We grew up Christian, very fundamental. Like, I'm talking, if you know what Pentecostal holiness is, that's my childhood. It's very strict. It's very severe. Like, if you see The Righteous Gemstones, great show, by the way. It's very funny.
It is.
I think it's season three. They're like in this like old backwoods part of the country with this tiny little chapel. And it's like the really country people. Like, that's kind of the church that I grew up in. Like a chapel with like 40 or 50 people. Women are not allowed to wear makeup, their hair, they never cut it. It's down to their knees by the time they're in their 80s or 90s. No jewelry, no lipstick, because that's Jezebel. She's a whore, right? That's how I grew up. Mm-hmm. Very Christian. And the phenomenon helped us to understand that although there is truth to Christianity, that Christ is true, that Christ is real, that there's more to the story, right? And it's not about, you know, being so strict about all these little doctrines about being judged or, you know, to go to heaven or hell, but it's deeper than that. It's about God. So let me just run back to the lady, because we're talking about the religious angle of the phenomena, right? So when she came to my father, she had a triangle on her chest and she appeared in white robes. And she said, I am the mother of creation, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Even she gave the name the Comforter. You know who else said the Comforter? Jesus Christ. He said, when I leave, I will send the Comforter after me. He's talking about the story of the Pentecost, if you know the story.
I'm a lousy Christian, so no, I don't.
Oh, well, just to make it really quick, so you know, if you're going by the official version that the Imperial Romans who slaughtered Jesus, and then they legally decreed Christianity the religion of their empire, they said, hey, these little 66 books, these are the ones you sheep get, and don't change them, don't believe in anything different, or we'll cut your head off. So if we're going by that version, right, in the gospel, Jesus is crucified, he's resurrected after 3 days, and then he sticks around for like 40 more days, teaching the disciples. And then on the 40th day, he says, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send one after me that is the Comforter. It is a spirit, and it will help you, and it will protect you and guide you. Jesus disappears, and then 10 days later, the Pentecost happens, which is where Pentecostal comes from, right? And the Holy Spirit descends on the disciples like a fire, and it strikes them with this spirit, and they start to speak in weird languages. That's where the whole speaking in tongues concept comes from, okay? But Jesus says, the Comforter will come after me. It's the Holy Spirit. That's who the lady said she was. She said, I'm the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the missing part of the Holy Trinity. So the whole time we've kind of been dropping that for, we've never wanted to come out. You have to understand too, that we're seeing UFOs. So when people are trying to, in modern times, imagine a real interaction with the other side, with the spirit world, it's going to appear to them in a lens that makes sense in their time. And then you have this government and these evil, you know what they do, you know, you can read the Epstein files, the power structure that runs the world. Now we can talk about this in the light without, you know what I mean? It's very cathartic. They have been the ones pushing this psyop about these beings that when they appear to humanity, they're saying it's aliens, because you know, the elites, their whole goal, their whole motive has been to remove God from the world. So that's aliens. Oh, the creation of humankind, Darwin figured it out. We evolved from monkeys. Creation of the universe, Big Bang. We came up out of nothing, and we go to nothing, and there is nothing. Everything that they've taught us about reality has been a lie. It's all been to remove God from the equation. So, and the, of course, prophesied inevitable time coming, which remote viewers could never see past 2026, and they've been telling us for over 20 years about, you know, this time period from NASA. They've known that there would be an inevitable time that these beings would come from another reality and react with humans. It's been prophesied for thousands of years by many different traditions. So they've planted that seed. It's aliens. It's demons. It's demonic. It's aliens. It's demons. It's demonic. For 19 years, we've been like, it's angelic. And the lady actually said she was the Holy Spirit. But do you test the spirits? It's like, you're not listening. We're saying the whole time this is angels.
I don't want to cut you off, but because this is a real major sort of sticking point, and this is something I subscribe to, and you can tell me your thoughts. When people say, like, do you believe in aliens? I always say, I believe in angels and demons.
Yeah.
The spirit realm. And to sort of like play devil's advocate with you, no pun intended, to sort of like defend the people that are pushing back on you, that's what they would say. They would say, well, how can you tell if it's angelic or demonic? And I've always said, because I've had to defend my relationship with you, Ryan, you know?
Oh, that's silly.
Well, because like, there's a lot of people in my circle that are very much like conservative Christian. There's no playing around with this stuff. And even my, as an Orthodox Christian, I've read Father Seraphim Rose's books about UFOs and orthodoxy and the religion of the future. And he says the same thing. He's kind of the school of, no, these things are all demonic and it's all deception and it's all to dilute the true faith of Christianity into this sort of global religion thing. But I've always said, like with your father, like that to me, you judge people by the fruits they bear. And the lady or the phenomenon or whatever you want to call this healed your father.
Yeah.
And I'm like that. Others. Yeah. And the UFO of God book, which again, I recommend that to anyone. You can read that. It wasn't just this one isolated incident. It was multiple instances that happened. And, I don't know. What do you think about that? When people say, well, if there's angels or demons, like, do you agree with that or disagree with that? What do you think?
No, I completely agree with that. But here's what I have come to believe. And people can believe what they want. I don't care. I'm not trying to tell people what they have to believe. But this is truly what I have been led to understand through 19 years of constant interaction with beings from another reality, chats with some of the highest levels of human power structures in existence, like people in elite circles like the CIA and stuff like that, and having private closed-door chats to see their knowledge of the phenomenon, cross-referencing with, you know, the way it behaves and interacts. And of course the intelligence and government agencies always have a negative spin because they serve their master, which is the darkness. But I have truly come to believe in the concept of emanation theology, which can be understood through the lens of Gnostic Christianity, not the Crowley type, but the real type, which when you read the texts, it was Jesus giving secret teachings of purifying the consciousness through righteousness and being baptized in the mysteries of the light, and Hermetic theology and things like the Templar Knights and Egyptian cosmology, et cetera, the Orphic mysteries. There's all these different traditions in the past that Plato, similar knowledge. They all point to this one thing, which is, and the Brahmins of India talk about this in their actual mainstream religion. There's this notion that reality came forth into being from the mind of God. Talks about this in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Well, when you know that the New Testament was written in Greek, the word there for word was logos, which doesn't actually mean word. It means a mind. So there's a notion that reality was emanated from a mind, right? And this is consciousness. That's where that's going to come into key in modern times. We're gonna all get on the same page pretty soon and realize, wait, we're killing each other over how to believe about God when we've all just been imagining the other side. There is an other side, though. At least we can all agree. That's the new knowledge. We all will agree there is an other side. Great. Let's work together in harmony to figure out how to be in union with it. So reality comes from this original mind, or they would say thought, or Thoth, right, from Egypt. And it's orders and scales of being. So at the very high level, you have God, the transcendent true God, the Father. And then beneath that, maybe like one layer, I can't know specifically. I'm just reading these ancient texts and kind of making my own conclusions. But somewhere right beneath that is the lady. It's the emanation from the mind of God. And then you go all the way down and it's us being trapped in material reality. We're confused. We're blind. This is the world of darkness where there's these negative beings trying to feast on our light. You keep going down the scales of beings and then you have the dark entities. So in my understanding of how this works, the entities that are so powerful that you can see them with your biological eyes are so transcendent that they travel between worlds in orbs of light. And the lower entities are mental parasites. They're like what the Native Americans called the Wetiko or the Wendigo. Or in Mexico, in ancient Toltec and Aztec culture, they called this the mitote, the mental parasite. Right. So the negative force is it's mental. It's like it says in the Bible, demonic, parasitic. They want to use your body as a host and possess you and give you evil thoughts and make you lash out and harm people, harm yourself, cut up others, cut up your body, destroy people. You know, it's a possession phenomenon. People want to like do all this gymnastics to think about, you know, it's these alien demon monsters that want to come and eat you and farm you. I don't believe it's possible. I truly believe the way that the cosmology of the universe works, that the planets, if we could think of them as such, are like different realms. And I am not convinced after chats with people from NASA, literally my whole life, I'm not convinced that the physical body can leave this place.
Okay. That leads me to a question I have to clarify with you. So the things you're speaking of are very sort of like Gnostic coded ideas, right? And what I'm hearing a perspective that, tell me if I'm misinterpreting you, when you said like we're kind of trapped in the material realm, because like my understanding of Gnosticism is very much that idea of Gnostics think that the false God created this world that we live in, and it's really just a prison planet, and we need to sort of like ascend through the knowledge of Sophia to access the real place where the real God is, because this is more or less hell. And I've disagreed with that, because I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like hell. But when I'm listening to you talk, like I had a sort of reinterpretation of it. And if I'm hearing you, it almost sounds like you're saying it's not, maybe the readings are a little mischaracterized, and maybe it's not, we're in a prison planet that's hell. Maybe it's more of like, no, we're in a state of ignorance. Like it's like at the Freemasonic initiation. We just have the blindfolds on. It's not negative. It's not hell. It's just that we're in a state of ignorance. Okay.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, even in Tibetan Buddhism, they speak of this where, you know, for example, and I believe, this is my opinion, I believe when we're in pursuit of the genuine truth, we have to look at all of it, and we have to see, you know, where the correlations are. And when you think of like Tibetan Buddhism, for example, they talk about how reality that we live in, the cycle of samsara, right, the eternal cycle of life and death and reincarnation, is separated by six layers of bardo, which are basically these liminal realms in between spaces of existence. Three of them occur in life and three of them occur in death. In life, between being a baby and taking your first breath all the way up until death, that's the first bardo. The second one is something like when you dream at night, every night. The third one is when you go into deep states of meditation. And then there's three bardos in death. And it's like when you first leave the body and then you go into another realm where you see the karmic repercussions of your actions, and either demons or angels. If you were a horrible person, demons would come to you, or angels would come to you if you're a good person. And then in the final bardo, it's like right before you incarnate back into life. And the whole point of it, when you read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, is that at every level of these, you know, gradations between being, the whole point is for you to realize that you are Buddha, that you are Amitabha, that you are basically a piece of God, and that you're coming here to be able to see through this illusion and return to the light. So like, they're kind of saying the same thing in the East that they were saying in the West all these thousands of years ago. So there's something about this notion, you know, that we're a part of God. Some element of this is true, that God is our father. Maybe there's a mother. I mean, pretty much every religion in the entire world, including the Catholics, they had a version of a goddess or a mother. And then the Catholics, of course, they turned her into a pregnant Jewish teenager, and they kind of altered the story. But then you look into things like the Pista Sophia, and they speak of a lady, and they speak of her as the Lady Wisdom, the Holy Spirit. And they tell the allegory about how she saw the light of the highest God, and she said, "I long, my spirit longs to be with this God in union with its light." But she didn't realize she was being fooled by a false light below, of the arrogant one who leads her to fall into materiality, to be trapped there so that these archontic beings can feast on our light. And then she prays. And, you know, if you believe in such a thing as, you know, first of all, let me back up. We have to understand that the Gnostic Gospels from the Nag Hammadi Codex are no more or less real or false than the Gospels in the New Testament. The thing that makes them different is the Imperial Roman authority of the time said, these four are the only ones you're allowed to read. And if you look at the other ones, we will cut your head off. But the Nag Hammadi Codex actually did and is dated to have come from around the time of the life of Christ. And the things they say are pretty incredible. And they say things like, anyway, so back to the allegory. She falls into the darkness and she prays to God and goes through 13 repentances to purify her soul and reclaim her light. And then Jesus goes on to explain to the disciples that these 13 repentances and her fall into material reality is an allegory for the condition of you being here in material life, and it's an illusion, and you have to wake up and you have to, you know, connect to God on a personal level to, you know, get out of here, to go home, basically.
Interesting. Do you think that, you mentioned the archonic aspect of this, do you think it's absurd for me to think that when I'm reading these Epstein files and stuff, and I think about stuff that David Icke has said about the archons, my mind can easily go to, oh, this is like Moloch. I think they're sacrificing babies to some bloodthirsty pagan god that's, you know, a demon. Like, do you think that's absurd for me to think that? Or
no, we have proof that they are. They definitely are.
Okay.
All right, good. In the Epstein files. Come on. We know that.
Okay, good. So I could hold on to that one. Good. Okay.
No, it's totally real. Let me tell you this, okay? I'm going to, and I'll tell you anything off air, but as we talked about before we recorded, I try to be careful about names, because that can be, that can have consequences. I don't want to exactly go and poke the bear of individuals who are part of, you know, trillionaire families.
Totally. But, yeah.
But let's just say that in 2017, people from the DIA approached us. And at this point, my father was in a period of not speaking publicly for like 8 years. He was developing rheumatoid arthritis. He was just getting really sick. By the time 2019 came around, he thought he was dying. He was on chemo and other toxic drugs. He couldn't even like barely close his hands. He couldn't button his pants or tie his shoes. He was so sick. And I thought he was never going to go speak out again. And that's partially why I started the podcast, right? So at this point, he's not really speaking publicly for many years. And people were coming to us and they were reaching out to us. Very powerful people. People in the DIA were saying things like, hey, you know, Satan and God are one being, right? Do you want to go to Bohemian Grove? Of course he didn't. My dad didn't, because we'd read about this because WikiLeaks had been out. And, you know, he was saying things like the DIA dudes, they were trying to introduce us to get us involved with, and I'm just going to say this, people associated with those files, which we never did meet because we figured it out. And they were people who more or less are known to be into UFOs. And then also they would do things like give us death threats if we went out and publicly told our story the way that we want to and not with their version, which the version that they tried to convince us to begin to tell, and they even offered us a movie through Tom DeLonge and through To the Stars, and offer us a salary, but for the rest of our life, Dad would be rich if he made a movie. But we had to change our story to be about reptilians. And they told us that they slit little girls' throats and that they'd suck their blood out and that they consume their life force, but that there is no God, and tried to convince us to have this dark, satanic alien narrative. Now, obviously, you and I know the truth, that the real story is what's coming out in the Epstein files. That in reality, they're an ancient Babylonian system that, you know, worships their Canaanite gods. So I believe they were trying to deflect to this reptilian thing, shift the blame. Oh, it's some galactic force that's coming down, some alien monster. They're just trying to muddy the waters with it's psyops. But in reality, it's very evil human people doing the things that they are doing mentioned in those files. And it's biblical. When you know the truth of it, it's biblical.
You think that's what they're doing at Bohemian Grove? You think that the Epstein file stuff, when I'm putting all these dots together and I'm thinking, man, I think these guys are like sacrificing babies to alien demons and stuff. You think that they wanted you guys to portray that image because that's what's really happening and that's what they're doing? Or do you think it was like they wanted you to, I don't know, do a revelation of the method and let people know like, hey, this kind of stuff happens? Or like, what do you make of
it? My honest take is you have to understand that when the lady came in 2012, the CIA found out about it because my dad would go to these little conferences and he would talk about it. And then word travels fast because a lot of these, especially like MUFON, they are intelligence agency fronts to, you know, mass surveil citizens talking about the phenomenon or anything paranormal. It's through the DIA as well, CIA and DIA. And so they found out about the lady. And then Tim Taylor very quickly after came to our house. It was like 2013. He was at our property in Fayetteville. Asking questions. My superior sent me here to find out what she wants. You know, the lady has been revered for thousands of years. We've been tracking her appearance throughout the world. She appeared in Fatima and all over. And he's showing us these mission patches with, I can send it to you if you want. I don't know if you drop things in, but it's an NRO mission patch. And she has like a trident in one hand and a fireball in another hand. And they're saying that the lady is revered. We need to know what she told you. What does she want with you? What is she going to, you know, do? What's her plan for humanity, basically? That was 2013, right? Dad wrote down everything that she said. And we can talk about this because this is what we discussed before we even started. The main thing we want to talk about, her whole messages. So we'll get to that in a little bit, right? But she gave him all of the prophecy all the way back then. Iran, Israel, all the missiles, all this stuff. Dad sent that or gave it to Tim, and he took it to the Pentagon. And then weeks later, we got something in the mail, and it was a picture. I mean, it was an actual physical napkin with the stamp of Camp David. So they took this prophecy from the lady all the way to the president. So long story short, they have known. They've been very afraid of the lady and these beings. And they tell us, you know, we're terrified of them. We don't have control over them. They outsmart us at every move. They try to sneak nukes into space. And the beings literally show my dad classified videos at Mission Control of orbs of light appearing and zapping the warheads with little laser beams of light, and they tumble into the sea. So they don't let us escalate to nuclear war, right? They know that the beings are actually in control. So to answer your question, I think that they wanted us to change our story so bad and to inject this satanic psyop narrative is because our UFO story is really the only one out there that completely blows a hole in their entire psyop.
I see.
It's biblical. It's the only one that's biblical.
I don't know. Is now a good time to transition to this Iran thing? Because
let's do it.
When you mentioned that, I wonder if you're saying around, I want to say 2013, you said,
that's when he gave it to the Pentagon,
and it flows up to the president, Camp David, at some point. Is it possible that Trump today and the forces around him are taking this, I don't know, prophecy and trying to script it to make something happen? Or are they trying to combat the appearance of the lady and trying to fight this? You know, you talk about, and I'll let you tell the story of what you think is happening with the lady, and like, her, she's ushering a new, this sort of Age of Aquarius type stuff, right? Just take us on a journey here, because for people who don't know who the lady is, take us from who the lady is and what your dad's been saying, and you maybe I don't know all the intricate details.
Sure.
The stuff you guys have been saying about like this prophecy and the Star Regulus and the Sphinx and the year 2026 and how this is all happening right now. Take us through that, please.
So actually, this is not very well known, but the whole Iran and Israel thing was first given to my father in 2007, the very original night when he was missing for 4 hours. Now, granted, he didn't remember what happened. His memory was like wiped, to say in kind of like cheesy modern terms. But and it was like a year and a half or so later when he had a hypnotic regression that all of it came back to him. And he would get screaming, like, he would scream in his sleep, have nightmares, have migraines, and he would pass out when he tried to think about what happened in those missing 4 hours. All the way up until the summer of 2008, when the Discovery Channel came, brought the student of John Mack named Dr. Michael O'Connell, who has long since now passed, but he was a very profound Harvard psychologist who did, you know, hypnotic regressions and things. In that original night in 2007, the beings showed him Israel and Iran exchanging missiles. He showed him things like the melting of the Dome of the Rock, which hasn't happened yet. But as of today, Al-Aqsa Mosque is closed. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, check it out. When we're done recording and you have time, go. I'll send you a link, actually. Last night before I went to bed, you know, when it's night for us, it's morning in Israel. So last night before I was going to bed, it was announced all over Twitter that Al-Aqsa Mosque, and it's real, it's on the news in Israel, Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is the mosque that contains the Dome of the Rock, it is officially closed. Wonder what they're leading up to there. Yesterday, wow, there were IDF soldiers with mission patches on their helmets and on their armor of the Third Temple. Anyway, so to walk it back.
Wow.
In 2007, the being showed him all this, the biblical prophecy and images. 5 years after that, the lady comes and she reminds him of Israel and Iran. And she says, when you see this happen, well, actually, she came twice, if you really know the story. She came again in 2013. And she gave him, remember, Iran and Israel, when you see this happen, warn the people. We're going to wake them up. It's not going to go on for much longer. That when this conflict escalates, there's two timelines. That either we wake up on our own and it's happy and it's harmony and it's, you know, we don't need intervention. Or if it gets so bad that they get to the point of the nuke option, they're going to come down from the skies and they're going to stop it. Which was confirmed to us by the Pentagon, by the way. Last year, my dad was in a private meeting in Oregon with Pentagon Colonel Carl Nell, who runs or ran, I don't know if he still does, but he ran the UAP task force. And he was like, what do they want, Chris? What do the beings want? Dad said, you gotta shape up. You know, you're not going to outsmart them. You're not going to outplay them. If you want to interact with them negatively, you're going to get a negative response. If you want to be positive and go with the light, we'll all be happy and it'll be an awakening. And, you know, but you're not going to outsmart them. So shape up. And he said, well, you know, we're very terrified of them, you know, intervening. dad gave them the prophecy of Israel and Iran. And he told my dad about this. We didn't know about this. But if you look in the Library of Congress, there is a real text about George Washington. He saw the lady. This is a real government text, book, whatever. The lady sat at the foot of his bed for 45 minutes. He was terrified, frozen in fear. And then she spoke to him and she gave him three prophecies. One of them was about being the son of the Republic. So obviously he went to start America. The other one was about something else. I can't remember. I think it was about the Revolutionary War or something like that. And then the third one was about a future time where when the threat of war rises so much around the world that it begins to come from the east onto our shores, that angels are going to come from above and they're going to intervene and they're going to stop it. So the Pentagon related that to what the lady told my dad, and they connect these things, and they have a very real fear and a very real belief that if they escalate this too far, that there's going to be supernatural intervention. If you really follow the crumbs, you already can see that they're telling you that nuclear silos get shut down, or sometimes they'll all start flashing. In 2007, when the beings came, they told my father this, and Dorothy Izett, if you've heard of her, she has an amazing story. She also saw the same light being phenomenon that we did, and she had a lot of the same messages. They also told her what I'm about to tell you. The being said, we went to the White House in 1952, and we warned your government, she was Canadian, but our government, the U.S., to stop doing nukes above ground because they harm beings in other realities. And then you look that up, and somewhere in the 50s, they stopped doing nukes.
They did that, yes.
They do them underground now. So there's something about, you know, when the nuclear bomb came in 1945, you and I know because we're deep in the trenches studying ancient philosophy and history and trying to put all the pieces together and combat the darkness, that Aleister Crowley and these sick freaks, Jack Parson and what's his name, Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, which is basically the modern alien myth, right? It's Crowley and Scientology. Because you know this, and I know this, that Crowley spoke to a little gray being that he called Lamb in his mind, by the way, never saw it. Most of these people that say they see grays and all this shit, they never see it with their eyes. It's all a mental thing because the negative phenomenon does not have the power in our universe to manifest in our physical reality. And I'm going on a tangent here, but also if you read Rudolf Steiner, very interesting guy. He talks about the Ahrimanic satanic force. What is Ahriman? You look into Zoroastrianism. Zoroaster was amazing. And Zoroastrianism is connected to Christ. When you know the prophecy of Zoroaster from 1,000 years BC, he said there's going to be a star in the east that signals the birth of the Savior of the world. He will be known as the Seoshayant, and he will bring God to the people. So for 1,000 years, the Zoroastrian or Persian, by the way, conflict in Iran, right? The Persian system became over time, eventually Mithraism, and it was changed. But the Magi, which were the priests of Zoroastrianism, they had this knowledge for 1,000 years of a star signaling the birth. They didn't have to say the word Christ. They said the Seoshayant. And they talked about the judgment of the world and the final prophetic time of, you know, the return of God to the world. And then 1,000 years later, what does it say in the book of Matthew? When Christ is born, the three Magi tell King Herod, he's here, there's the star. And King Herod says, oh, crap, because he was a Jew, right? And their prophecy, the Messiah is supposed to become the political king and a warrior. So he said, kill every child. And the Magi were like, no. And they followed the star and they found Jesus and they warned him. So then he went and grew up in Egypt. It says that in the book of Matthew. Jesus literally grew up in Egypt. That's real. Some people, like the Templar Knights, suggest he may even have some Egyptian lineage, which is not that crazy considering Moses grew up there and was brothers with who eventually became a pharaoh. So I think our history is a lot more spectacular than, you know, we're being led to believe. But I went on a tangent because I get excited talking about this stuff. What were we talking about before? Oh, the we were talking about Crowley, Scientology, the alien narrative and nukes.
Yeah, the lady being the question I think that started this was, do you think they are scripting this it sounds like you're saying, oh, you do.
That's what she said. That was her message, right? And I remember where we were now.
Because they want intervention from.
Well, they want to kill us all. They want to wipe us out. They are trying to.
But don't they also know that the lady said, like, look, if you try to escalate this 2 nukes to wipe us all out, like, we're going to come stop you? Or do they just not believe that she can do it?
No, they believe she can do it. But I think that they have masters. They're fighting their war on their side. They have no choice. You know, you have to think like the militaries and the governments and even the nations, they're owned by a group that has probably funded every major conflict for the last several hundred years, maybe even the last 500 or longer. Right. They're beck and call, the nations. And you can look back in history in the last 100 or so years, like what foreign leaders have been wiped out, not counting this year in 2026 with like Maduro and Iran and all that. But like, think about like, you know, Gaddafi, who were the enemies of the world, North Korea, Russia, what do they all have in common? They're not on the Rothschild system.
Oh, okay. I feel you there. Okay. Yeah. And this gets to the heart of the matter. Let me tell you what I'm hearing from you, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. Are you suggesting that when I read these Epstein files, I see all this stuff and all these characters that are majorly plugged into the Rothschilds and all these sort of boogeymen, and then I also put two and two together, and I'm like, I think they're like sacrificing kids to Moloch or some weird stuff's going on here. And it's because they're sort of, you know, to oversimplify this, they're being sort of influenced by demonic dark forces. So you've got this sort of demonic dark forces that actually control the world and finance and all this stuff. And then you've got the other side of the coin, which is kind of what you guys are experiencing with the lady with positive forces. And the positive forces and the dark forces are kind of clashing. And the reason that we're seeing this war that could escalate is because the demonic forces are like, hey, we don't care if the lady says she can come back and stop us. You're going to do this anyway. And whatever, I don't know. Like, they're influencing them on some level to not care that the lady says, hey, we're going to come stop this from happening. And we're going to wake the world up. That's kind of how you see it.
That's exactly how I've lived it. Okay. You know, that I've been pretty subtle. And like I said, I'll tell you everything off air. But for those who had ears to hear, go back 10, 20, 15 minutes ago or something like that and listen to what I said. I'm not trying to, you know, poke the bear of trillionaire families.
Right.
But someone tried to, from the government, try to link us to people. They tried to stifle our story. And when me and my siblings were children, people from NASA, people from the CIA said, you're going to be spied on your whole life. Don't ever go talk publicly because people are going to think you're crazy and they're not going to believe. They've done everything they can to try to stop us from telling our story. But the lady said, this was her message. I'm the Holy Spirit. The hidden one is Amun-Ra. And that has a meaning. We can talk about that if you want to go deep into that. I don't know how much time you have left. She said the hidden one is Amun-Ra, which is, you know, in the New Testament, they say Amen 74 plus times, which truly what amen means is that which is hidden. It doesn't mean let that be true in modern interpretations. It actually means that which is hidden. And even in the text of Revelation, Jesus talks about, so saith the words of the mouth of the amen, of the amen, right? God is the hidden one. That's what amen means. Anyway, so she said the hidden one is Amun-Ra, God. And she gave scriptures of the Bible. And she said, if you do not go and tell your story to the world, you're going to be like Joel the Watchman. You will be guilty and you'll have blood on your hands. Because if you know that story, he was supposed to blow the trumpet or a horn or whatever when enemies were coming to attack his people. And he didn't. And they were all slaughtered. And he was guilty. Like, he killed them himself, right? So she said, if you don't go tell your story, that's going to be you. You're going to be guilty with the blood of the world on your hands. They're going to deceive the world. They're going to commit a great deception, which is the alien narrative. And they're going to do everything they can to convince the world there is no God. There is no soul. And if this view wins out and the last soul in this world stops believing in God, then you'll be trapped here forever. And it'll be like hell. But that it's not going to win. that the light is returning to the world because there's a shift in the powers of the heavens, and that there's going to be a new knowledge that comes into the world, and it'll be the age of Aquarius, which we had like never heard of that, dude. We were Pentecostal Christian. Like, what the hell is that? I think my parents heard that in a song in the 60s. You know what I mean?
Right.
We didn't know what that meant. And she said, the most important part is she said that the people in power who worship the satanic dark force are using the book of Revelation as a script to wipe out the masses, to bring about the cataclysm. We're not going to let it go on farther than it has to. And she gave him the lyrics of the song, The Battle of Evermore. She really gave him like five songs, but in this specific instance, she gave him this particular part. And it says, the pain of war cannot exceed the woe of the aftermath. And she helped him to understand that it means once it gets to a point where the suffering is so bad and people are crying out to God, we're going to come in and we're going to stop it. So tell the people, tell them not to be afraid, give them hope. And then, of course, you know, we've been posting orbs for, you know, 14, 15 years now on the internet saying they're angels, and people say they're demons, they're demons, they're demons. It's like, oh, man, I don't know what to tell you. We're trying, you know.
You're putting up a good fight.
It's been a long road.
Do you so your dad mentioned you had sent me a couple clips, and one of them, he mentioned this term catastrophic disclosure in regards to this Iran ordeal going on. Could you clarify what that means a little bit more, or if you don't know what he's talking about, maybe what could that mean?
Well, that was a term told to him by the colonel, Carl Nell, who's you know, was the, I don't know what he still might be, but he was the Pentagon UAP task force guy. And that was what he told my father when he was relating dad's prophecy of the lady to George Washington. Both of them, what do they have in common? Angels coming in and stopping it, right? The nuclear war. They didn't have nukes in George Washington's time, but it was the same story, right? The war will get so bad that they'll stop it. So he said, we're terrified of this. This is called catastrophic disclosure, where basically he explained to my dad that the human governments lose power. They completely lose power or control and continuity of government because of a scenario in which the beings forcefully enter our world and stop them. So really, it's catastrophic to them.
Wow.
And really, it's basically what's looking like it's going to happen. Literally now all over the news. I mean, I haven't even checked today. It's a new day. I've been with you since 9 a.m, you know, woke up and sipped my coffee. I'm excited to check what happens next, but they're literally calling it Armageddon now.
Yeah. I saw that like various, I don't know, commanders or something. We're talking to their NCOs and suggesting that, like, and I'm heavily paraphrasing, it's something about Trump being sort of a part of this Armageddon system, and they're really going to, they have a higher purpose for this whole, it's a religious thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, here we go.
They're
with this
putting
nonsense.
The subtitles. So it's like, we're watching a great movie unfold, and them doing things like that is putting on the subtitles so the normies can even understand, you know?
There's, exactly, dude. And that's and being in this sort of conspiracy space for so long, I look at this stuff and I say, I mean, there's a reason these headlines all say this, are telling us this. This is being put out there for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's to get us to all start wrapping our heads around it, because it's, you can't go from 0 to 100. And I think it fits in, because I've always said the last 6 months to a year, with these Epstein files, I'm like, I'm sorry, but like, they control everything. There's a reason we're supposed to see those files. There's a reason. And you would think, oh, you know, there is no reason. Why would they want you to know this awful stuff they're doing? And there's got to be a reason. Stand by that, of like, it's not like you guys got us on a technicality, you know, and this, you know, like Thomas Massey, which I want them to release the files. I want them to have full disclosure of this stuff. But, you know, there's people that criticize Thomas Massey, even, who's the guy pushing for the release of these. And they're like, well, he's from the Order of De Molay, and he's connected in with he is, yeah. I mean, unless it's all AI fake stuff, but what I've seen suggests he is.
Well,
I just don't know. It's hard to know, like, what's up, what's down at this point.
Yeah. I will say there's a lot that's misunderstood about the Templars. And that's a whole fascinating topic that would take another hour to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and for people wondering, all these topics that you've been mentioning, you do whole deep dive shows about on Bledsoe Said So. So I strongly encourage people to go through your catalog and go through and you can catch up on a lot of these interesting ideas you're presenting.
I appreciate that. And I will say this, probably this summer, I'm going to have a really wonderful human being. He's a Templar on my show, very high level. And when you read about it online, it's like, you know, they're Satanists. Under torture, they talked about Baphomet, and there's all this stuff about them. But then when you really like get to the heart of it, that first of all, they believe in the Lady.
Oh, they do.
Well, yeah, because you go through the eventual discovery that they were concealing the secret of Gnosticism, which was, you know, the alternative at the time heretical view of Christ. The church, the Roman authority at the time, 1,000 years ago, would go into Templar churches and they would say, "Hey, what's going on here? You don't have any crucifixes." Because the Templars didn't believe in the image of the crucifix. They believed in the image of the awakened Christ. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like the one on the Da Vinci poster of the Salvator Mundi. They believed in Christ in the Gnostic version. He very well could have still been crucified and rose from the dead and all that, but that's not the point of it. The point of it is not to worship Christ in that view, but the point is to embody his teachings, because he always says over and over again, like in the book of Revelation, come sit on the throne with me. You will be like me when I leave here. You will perform more miracles than me. The idea is to, you know, not to bow down and worship, but it's to literally be like him. Anyway,
I'm gonna have to do some more homework on this to talk to you about it this again with the Templars. That's interesting. I haven't heard it from that perspective. I have heard that I think it was Crowley who said that the name of Baphomet means Father Mithras, which I don't know what to make of all.
You know what
this
it really means? What it really means? I'm gonna tell you right now. In medieval times, there was always been spies, always. So in medieval times. You have to think Templars were 1,000 years ago. When was it that they banned Gnosticism as heresy? I think it was at the
Irenaeus time frame. I think around 300 ish.
Nicaea, right? The Council of Nicaea.
Yeah. Yes. I think the Council of Nicaea, the Nicene Creed was the one that was like, okay, this
anything
Gnostic
else is
over.
Other than our view is heresy. We will kill you. We'll literally kill you. And then 800 or so years later, around the 1100s, the Templars popped up. And that's a very interesting story. There's all kinds of views about that, you know. And again, this kind of gets into territory that a lot of people, I don't think, like to think about, because for some reason they think it disproves Christ. It's, to me, it's quite the opposite. You know, it's been suggested that maybe some of the founders of Templarism come from the descendants of his family. Jesus had like 6 or 7 siblings. That's in the Bible. There's 3 or 4 mentioned by name, James, Martha. And, I don't think they're all mentioned by name, but he has several siblings. That's not disputed, right? I'm naming my son James, cause I like James, the brother of Jesus, but also it's my great uncle's name. So I was like, that's a cool little twist. Anyway. So, yeah, the Templars allegedly, if you know the lore, that they may have very well descended from that family, and they in that time were concealing the secret that they were loyal to the goddess, and they had statues of the Mother Mary, and the church came and investigated them right before they slaughtered them with that whole Inquisition, and they said, "Hey, you don't have any crucifixes. What's going on here?" And they're like, "Oh, sorry." You know, so they played along and they put up statues of the awakened Christ. And then I think the church picked up on the message that they were Gnostic and they slaughtered them. And if you look in the history, the Templars would pass around these little medallions and they had the seal of Abraxas, which was a symbol. It was an allegory for the transcendent God, the ineffable God.
Chicken-headed snake God.
Yeah, but really it's just allegory. It's just symbolic that there's a God that's beyond our comprehension. And the whole Gnostic, you know, Templar belief. The point being about the Templar thing, what they really believe, I could tell you right now, after being very good friends with some, they believe in the Lady. They have prophecies of her return. And their whole thing, the whole point of taking an oath to being a knight is you vow to become a warrior and a monk, and you don't get days off. Every day of your life, you diligently must commit yourself to the way of light and seek to stay connected to the presence of God and embody the teachings of Christ.
Interesting.
That's now, what they really believe.
I'm looking at the time. I don't mean to switch gears so fast on you, but I do have to let you go here. But before I let you go, I do want to hear more about this trending buzz about the Star Regulus Sphinx prophecy thing that shifted from Easter in, was it April, I guess, to now people are saying it's in September. What can you shed some light on that? Because all of us have anxiety right now with this whole holy war thing going on. And then the people that are really tuned into like stuff that we talk about, the Epstein files and the phenomenon, we're like on super high edge. Like what the heck? There's more than just a war happening over oil. Like there's something happening here.
For sure.
Could you tell us more about the prophecy and what to look for in these upcoming months?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I can't believe it's an hour and I've forgotten to even talk about that part. When I went into the whole thing about what her message was, it's really long. I do a reading of the actual transcript of, now keep in mind, my dad had these experiences consciously, but throughout time he had hypnotic regressions to try to recall them. So on my show, I do a complete reading of the transcript and it's like 45 minutes at a quick pace getting through the whole thing. It's very long, the things that she said and going through the experience. So sometimes when I'm telling it really quick, details can fall to the side as I'm maybe focusing on this part or whatever, but this is the most important part. She said that there will be a new knowledge and awakening that will shift into a 1,000 years of peace, like it says in the Bible. And they're using Revelation as a script, but we're only going to let it go so far. You guys have the choice, get right and shape up, or we're going to have to come in and we're going to stop it. But she said that when the Star of Regulus aligns in the gaze of the Sphinx, in the constellation Leo, just before dawn, there will be a new knowledge. And what she really said is, which we've been kind of like, you have to understand when you have the burden of telling a prophecy to the world, it's like, do we just throw all the cards on the table? What if something doesn't happen? So we've always been like, how do we say this part? Kind of, but what she really said was God will return. There will be a new knowledge and God will return. And we've never really knew what that meant. So it's been like, how do we say that part? So we just said a new knowledge. Yay, that's, She never gave a date. She never gave a time. And remember, this was 2012. People from NASA and people from the Edgar Cayce Institute started running it through simulations. And they gave us all the way back then. And I can show you where I've on the internet. 6 years ago, giving a date, at first we said September, because the first date we were ever given was September 23rd, 2026. By people, the lady never gave a date. She said, there's going to be an alignment. When you see this, okay, it's over. It's a new knowledge. The awakening has happened, basically. It signals the beginning of the new age that it talks about in the book of Revelation. And over time, they came to us years later and they said, wait, it's actually the spring equinox, not the fall one. So by this point, 5-6 years down the road, my dad had so many experiences around Easter. He came to believe that Easter was a significant time. So he threw his cards on the table and said, it must be Easter. But we've never known the exact time. We've never been given the date by the lady. We've been given word by people, either fall equinox or spring equinox. So we don't know, dude. We don't know the freaking future. We're just telling what we were told, right? Literally, from the beings, from the angels, and also from these people running it through simulations. I'm just as shocked as you are. The Epstein files, they're talking about UAP disclosure, World War III, the Holy War Armageddon started all right around Easter. I'm just as shocked as you are. You know what I mean?
Right. Do you think... okay. For people with anxiety, such as myself, let's say it is September 23rd. There's some big thing happened. God manifests on earth. Something crazy does happen, right? Is there, should I not be on vacation at that time? Should I be like religiously, spiritually sort of prepared for that moment? I mean, like, I don't know what this looks like, or is it going to be more subtle? And it's like, no, it's just a shift of a new age. It's like, you know, New Year's Day. There's not like the sky's not going to turn purple. Like, did you guys get any gleaning of that kind of information from the lady? Or is it just going to be like kind of vague and nebulous of like, well, yeah, things are going to start turning now and slowly.
I think it's both.
Okay.
I think it's both, that it is vague and nebulous and that it's subtle. And these changes happen in an invisible dimension. And like, you know, when we have things like the blood moons and the alignments and solar eclipses and all these crazy celestial events, you know, we know from things like the Schumann resonance and such that these celestial bodies and even the Earth itself put some sort of electromagnetic force on us that affects our nervous system, that these celestial bodies have an effect on our consciousness. And when they shift in such profound ways and have these ancient alignments, like on February 20th, that we haven't seen in 6,000 years, something's happening in our physical reality. There's changes that are occurring in another dimension that's causing new energies to be present in our world. So it's like that. That's what I think the alignment is. It's not that, oh my God, there's going to be an image of God in the sky.
Yeah,
I think it's just the energy is shifting so that things will be able to move forward at light speed for the good of humanity. But I think there is also going to be a thing where we have some sort of mass sighting. I don't know this for sure. This is just my gut.
Yeah,
that I think there probably will be something. And this is why for decades now, they've been planting the seed of blue beam. They've been planting the seed of be afraid to look up and connect with this phenomenon. They're demonic. They're evil. They're reptilians that eat little girls. Really, it's them eating little girls. You know, they're doing everything they can to convince people to fear the phenomenon, because that's the only thing that truly is our advocate in this freaking reality. Because the people here in charge are the ones that are evil.
Wow, dude. That's okay. It all came together in that last 30 seconds of you talking. I'm like, oh, okay. So you're not in the camp of the Project Bluebeam story.
No.
Because you think that's propaganda to make us see lights in the sky and say,
don't look up.
Oh, there's no aliens out there. That's just the, you know, the intelligence agencies trying to make us usher in the Antichrist or something.
Yeah. And in the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 28, it says, when these things come to pass, hold your head high and look up, for redemption draws nigh. Be happy, smile. It's almost over. When these signs come to pass, don't be anxious, and that's natural. But mm-hmm. we have to fight. The only thing we have is our mind. Everything is thought, right? So we don't have to give them our thoughts. We don't have to believe their script. We have to fight. We have to be positive, and we have to be happy. It says, like, I'll come in like a thief in the night. You know, I wouldn't like sell everything we own and try to be prepared for something in the sky. Like, I think we should just go on as normal and be positive and just have faith in a higher power and know that there is something good that cares for us.
It's beautiful, man. That's great, dude. I got one last question. Softball, real quick. Yes, no. Have you did you watch Twin Peaks yet? I don't know if you told me this yet or not.
No, but I'm really ready now because I'm telling you, last week somebody told me something that happens in it, and now I'm like really convinced I gotta watch it.
Bro, it's if I like listening to you talk through the filter of like your experience, man, you're probably gonna have a heyday. I hope so. There's moments, there's ups and downs, and it's a lot of content to get through. So I get it when people are like, bro, I'm not watching 55 hours of this stuff or whatever it is. But man, bro, there's so much in there that you're gonna like resonate with. I'm telling you, like, especially, and maybe you won't at first because like it kind of feels like a soap opera, and you're like, this is goofy. What am I watching? But there's so many things that if you kind of tune into the right messaging. One quick example. You know, you guys talk about owls all the time, like being part of the phenomenon, and like your dad would like see the owl before the things would happen and stuff. And that's, you know, it's a whole major theme within Twin Peaks. In fact, it's on my coaster right here. The owls are not what they seem, because the owls are always predicated on a visitor of the phenomenon. And none of this is plot spoiler. One more thing is there's a major theme of the White Lodge versus the Black Lodge, and
real.
And it's love versus fear. And that's exactly what you're telling me. And then there's also the tie-in of intelligence agencies being involved in the phenomenon this whole time, which is what I think the show was, you know, getting at. But anyway, dude, thanks so much for sharing your time with us. You're one of like the most well-educated person that I get to talk to about all of these things. Cause I think we need more of like a Renaissance man approach to these things and not just, oh, here's a scientist who studies, you know, metamaterials. Here's a religious scholar. I think it needs a wide lens to try to understand all this. So, man, you're doing great work over there on your show and everything else. Tell the people where you'd like them to check you out and where to get UFO of God, which is a book I highly recommend everybody read.
Yeah, well, Dad published UFO of God on Amazon, so you can just go find it on there. It's an amazing book. I'm not just saying that because I'm his son. I actually was reading it before he published it, and I did not expect it to be as good as it was. And then I read it again when it came out. It's a fantastic book. And then, just check out my show, Bledsoe Said So. It's pretty much everywhere, YouTube, Spotify, all that stuff. We're on Instagram. And, I just keep it real. I don't do this to be liked. I don't do this to go out and try to, you know, have opinions that are agreeable with people. I'm trying to do real work, you know? So I'm really just keeping it real and sharing what I find and how I see it and doing everything I can to try to help people connect with God. So.
Well, dude, you're doing amazing work over there. And that's one of the reasons I do resonate with you, man, is because before I started, you know, podcasting, putting myself out there, I didn't understand what it took to have an opinion and present it to the world. And there's a reason, like every song and movie and artist says stuff about how, like, look, you just got to be your authentic self. Yeah. And before I did all this, I didn't really think about it. I thought, like, how hard can it be? Yeah, just make the song and release it or whatever. But man, you get flack for being pro this or anti that. I mean, you get flack from all corners. So I can't imagine the kind of like comments you have to field. Cause even in my realm, like I feel nasty stuff all day long that I'm like, oh, why am I doing this? And oh, should I believe this? And you know, you question yourself, you question your judgment. So I couldn't imagine what you guys go through on your end, man. So you're a strong-willed person who, I appreciate how you are willing to be such an open book with everybody.
I appreciate that. It's just like it's resilience.
Yeah. Well, good. I'll put the links in the show notes and people can check out all your stuff. Like I said, if people are interested in a lot of these occult topics that we were, you know, glossing over today, Knights Templar and, you know, Zoroastrianism and stuff, you've done full on episodes about it. So be sure to check out Bledsoe Said So podcast. Get UFO of God book. It's one of my favorite books. It's one of the easiest reads you'll ever come across. So I've got the book and I've got the Audible. So, but yeah, thanks for joining us again, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. I hope that shed a little light, maybe some positivity, maybe some negativity. I don't know. It depends on how you view all this stuff. Again, go check out Bledsoe Said So. He's got a great podcast and you can get it at bledsoesaidso.com. He's got links. Got a Patreon as well under the same name, and I'll put links for all that in the show notes. And I'll also put the 2022 interview I did with him where he tells the whole story about his family making contact with the angels back in 22. He came on my show to talk about it. And I almost forgot, Coast to Coast AM. I'm gonna be on Coast to Coast AM Sunday night, Monday morning ish so March 15th, March 16th. So be sure to tune in to Coast to Coast AM, all right, because I'm gonna be on there. I'm going to be on there with Richard Sear. We're going to talk about CERN and occult and aliens and making contact with entities and all the crazy stuff you come to expect on Coast to Coast. All right. And also, again, you can check out the video version of this show at my YouTube, youtube.com/@occultsymbolism. Link is always in the show notes. Please subscribe. I'm trying to get to 100K by the end of the year. Make my dreams come true, please. And if you're on the Patreon or VIP section and you're like, hey, I want to watch the video, but I don't want to deal with the pesky ads. Tier 2 and higher gets you the video version. No ads. Don't worry about YouTube. It's a private link I provide. Anyway, those are your options. Thanks for listening. Till next time, stay positive.